Community Connection brought to you this morning by Tulsa Bone and Joint at Bartles Hill and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move, by Tallgrass Motors and by First Baptist Church. We'll talk with our guest in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Hey, we have Patty Beavers in from Family Crisis. I'll get the old thing here. Family Crisis and Counseling Center. I wanted to refer to you by a former name of the organization. Good morning, Patty. Nice to have you here this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And whether it's a current or former name, the mission really hasn't changed all that much. You are there primarily to stand beside families when domestic violence occurs. Typically, it's the wife and youngsters, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Domestic violence is a problem in our communities across the nation. Hot weather seems to aggravate the situation. I think we all get a little bit more irritable, recalling that old Anison commercial. Sure, you have a headache, you're mad, you're irritable, but don't take it out on the kids. And I think that applies pretty well for what we're talking about this morning.
It absolutely does. You know, when the weather is extremely hot like it is now, you know, tempers flare, and that's, you know, normal tempers flare, you know, nonetheless, someone then that maybe has anger issues. We do see more people receive more calls about shelter during the really hot times. Same thing as really cold times. But regardless, we're there to help victims, and that's what we want to, want to do. If anyone's having problems or they have questions about domestic violence, if maybe their neighbor's a victim and they don't know how to approach them, or whether they're the victim themselves, you know, we encourage them to call us at 918-336-1188.
Yeah, and, typically the call starts off with to law enforcement and the police, the sheriff's office, so whoever the appropriate agency is out there, they respond to the situation. And then you kind of have to look at things as far as does this level of whatever is going on rise to the level of, you know, domestic violence, as far as people actually hitting each other, people actually threatening bodily harm and that sort of thing?
Well, ideally there's criteria that mm-hmm. qualifies for a protective order.
Okay.
So whether law enforcement's called out and they send everyone to their corner and that can take care of the situation, or if they qualify for an emergency protective order. And in order to qualify for an emergency protective order, you have to be in fear for your safety from this individual, male
okay.
or female.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are in fear for your safety, that's just part of the criteria for the Domestic Violence Act to get a protective order, then that person has to have caused or has caused or attempted to cause physical harm to you.
Mm-hmm.
They threatened imminent physical harm to you. They're stalking you or they're harassing you. If one of those four things have taken place, in addition to you being in fear for your safety, then you qualify for an emergency protective order.
So some of those things are easier to document than others. For instance, harassment, particularly by phone calls, by text messages. You're particularly if they're calling your cell phone, the phone keeps a record of those sort of things. So it's easier to document. It's not always
Absolutely.
Easy, but
it's a lot easier than it used to be, because everyone carries a cell phone. Everyone has that record then that they can use it as evidence. As opposed to how it was, years ago.
Yeah, well, and some folks still have hardline phones, and they serve a great purpose. But as far as what we're talking about,
evidence, this truly does help.
Yeah.
In addition to that, if you're, again, the Domestic Violence Act of 1994 was set initially, you know, written for where there's violence in the home. So that's more what we call intimate partner relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But that can go out as far as someone you had been a dating relationship lived with, or formerly were in a dating relationship, married, divorced, you know.
Or one of you thought you had a dating relationship.
Out, you know, it kind of goes out a little bit. But now, if this person is your ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend, there was never any relationship there with you and this person, so you are required to contact the police for two different occasions, make a report that they're harassing you or stalking you, before, based on statutes, you know, you can legally get a protective order.
And that still requires the same process of going before a judge with actual evidence of what has occurred, and probably you and somebody from law enforcement probably alongside to provide corroboration somewhere along the way.
Well, we don't have law enforcement there, but myself or the Stacy, which is the other protective order advocate, do. We help them with their paperwork there in the office. From that, then we make appointment. We have a standing appointment every day at 1:10 to see the judge at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once he reads the petition that we help them prepare, or make sure that everything's prepared correctly, or, you know, nothing's left out.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if he approves it, then he puts it out for about 14 days to the next Thursday hearing docket that he has. Which gives then law enforcement time to serve that the plaintiff or defendant the hearing notice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the statutes are that law enforcement does have to personally hand them that hearing notice, so they'll know that they can come and defend what was written in that statement in case it's not true.
What? People would actually lie in court? No, it does happen, but hopefully not very often. But this is something then that you're there to help, like you said, make sure that the paperwork is properly filled out. You're not there to verify the accuracy necessarily.
Yeah,
but,
no.
But it is.
I'll take them at their word.
but that it is properly presented to the court.
Absolutely, because there's a way to do it and a way not to. So we help them with that. But one of the points I'd like to make today are about when our office is not open, or after 5 o'clock, the way the statute reads is when the court is not open. So you know, after 5 o'clock and on weekends, major holidays, you know, the times that the court is not open, the statutes allow for an individual, a victim, to request for law enforcement to get them an emergency temporary protective order. That's only good to the end of the next business day. So if you got it Friday night, Monday at 5 p.m., it expires.
Or
if you got
over a three-day weekend, you probably could get till
Tuesday.
Right,
until the courthouse is open the next day that the courthouse is open, and you have until 5 o'clock to make sure you get in and get your paperwork done and presented to the judge.
Okay.
So if the law enforcement, if you call 911, you know, or law enforcement to come out, and assist you with a domestic violence situation, then you can request that they, you know, get you a temporary emergency protective order, which again is just good to the end of the next business day. And if for some reason they don't feel it meets the requirements, you have the right to ask them why it does not.
Mm-hmm.
Because that statute about domestic violence, you know, is there for victims. So if they determine that you don't meet the criteria and they're not going to call the judge, that you've got to wait till our office opens next or the courthouse is open next, then you can ask them why, so that you'll know, you know, why this situation didn't qualify. The other thing, if they're out there, there's another statute that was passed, legislation that was passed and became effective, I believe, in November of 2014, where they're required to go over a lethality assessment to determine how much danger you're actually in. And so before they leave you in a situation where maybe it wasn't a physical altercation, but you're in danger from this person, or you fear you're in danger from this person, then if you answer, of these 11 questions, you answer, you know, three or more of them a yes, then they can call our shelter, you know, or our office if it's during the day, they can call our 336-1188 and let us know that they have someone that on the lethality assessment appears to be in danger, and we offer them our services at the shelter.
Okay.
They don't have to take it, but we're, you know, we're required based on that statute, part of the statute, that law enforcement lethality assessment to offer them shelter.
Okay, we will continue with Patty Beavers in just a moment.
There's always something good happening at the Bartlesville First Baptist Church. Coming up July 11th through the 16th is Falls Creek Youth Camp. Register now. And July 11th through the 14th, plus August 1st through the 5th, is the Cross Timbers Children's Mission Adventure Camp. Registration going on now. For more information about the First Baptist Church events calendar, call 918-336-6172.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time this morning with Patty Beavers from Family Crisis Counseling Center, volunteer and victim advocate. And so your job as is just that. You are there on the side of the victim.
Absolutely. We're there to make them feel comfortable, to assist them during a time that they don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And in this, that being the case, we can help diffuse some of that trauma that's going on right then in their lives, and provide them with resources, places that to go, or people that things, you know, to help meet some of the needs that they may have. Mm-hmm. We also provide free services as far as educational services for victims, you know, to understand domestic violence or sexual assault, the effects it has on kids, and the effects it has on them that, you know, rolls down to the kids. So we've got, you know, wonderful services available for people if they choose to use those. They're absolutely not required to participate in any of our services. If they want to come in and get a protective order and say, thank you, I'm out of here, that's great too.
Yeah, that's their choice.
Absolutely.
Sometimes because of the hot weather, these arguments that maybe would in colder weather go on behind closed doors make their way outside. And neighbors sometimes don't know what to do.
What I get on my little box and talk about to people, if you think that you're witnessing domestic violence, don't go over and get involved and save the day. Call 911 and let the police then determine. They're the ones that are trained. They're the ones that are equipped to defuse the situation, because there's, you know, there's a possibility that if you go over and get involved, then you're ended up pulling punches or pulling hair or something, and you could be, the police are then called, and you could be looked at as maybe being one of the aggressors in the situation and be arrested yourself. Well, she just came over here and started, you know, whatever. So
yeah,
it's just the biggest gift you can give that individual is just call 911 and let the police come and sort through the situation, because they're trained to, that's what their job is, and then and you've done what you could do. You know, everyone has instincts, and you do what you do. But, you know, if I'm out at Walmart and I see, you know, a big heated argument, and I see it's, you know, getting to where it's push come to shove, then, you know, I'll call 911.
Yeah. Also, you have a need for volunteers.
Absolutely. We always need volunteers. We have a great group of people that are volunteering for us right now. If you're interested in being a volunteer for our agency, we'd love to have you. I'd love to have you give me a call at 336-1188. Normally the volunteer times are 2 to 3 hours. And, you know, there is required training by the Oklahoma Attorney General's office that we have to go through first. But after that, you know, it does not take a rocket scientist. You know, it takes just a good heart. You know, someone's got a little bit of time that they want to donate. And if I could bring up one more thing about a temporary emergency protective order. Okay, what we do in the office for our clients when they come in, for the victims, is we assist them with an emergency protective order petition. What the officers do is an emergency temporary protective order. They just put another word in front of that. But when they do issue you one, again, victims need to understand it's only good to the end of the next business day. And we see the judge at 110 every day. So if you do receive one of these from, you know, if you are granted one from the law enforcement, then you need to come in the first thing that next business day, because we only get, you know, normally we just get to see the judge at 110. Not, you know, if by chance they are available after that, you know, we will call and see if we can get back in. But it takes 1 to 2 hours to do a protective order. And a lot of times people think they're going to walk in and get a piece of paper and they're in and out in 15 minutes, and it's not that. You need to know that it's going to take 1 to 2 hours to do the paperwork.
It's not just a fill in the blank sort of thing. Well, Patty, this is an important service that you offer to the community. You do a fundraiser coming up, I think, next month sometime,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. On Saturday, July the 23rd, we've got our chip-in for No More Violence Casino Night. It's at 7 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Hotel in downtown Bartlesville. You can purchase your tickets to attend by sending a check to Family Crisis and Counseling, or if you want to use a credit card, come into the office at 622 Southeast Frank Phillips. It's $40 a person or $75 a couple. But this year, there will be no tickets sold at the door.
Okay. It's going to be a fun night and a great fundraiser for FCC. Get yourself involved. And if you'd like to volunteer, again, 918-336-1188.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All of my career highlights would mean nothing if it wasn't for the support of my family and friends. Hi, this is Brad Payne.